Blog Talk Radio.
There's a direct relationship between having the businesses and being in prison. Go find see how many Asians you can find in American prisons. They ain't going to be in there. But 51% of your prison will be black because blacks don't have any businesses and industries. There's a direct link. Blacks won't practice group economics. Blacks won't practice group politics. If you don't practice, you're setting yourself up. I told that five-story building, you're setting yourself to get wiped out. Understand the nature of race, which is economics. If you build the first floor, it's economic. Build your businesses and your industries. Control business and industry, and put that pulls in your money, and hold that money, and practice group economics with it. Arab and Asian money bounces 12 to 13 times for at least. Jewish money bounces 18 times. Black folk got to learn how to practice group economics. Black Americans spend every penny they get outside their own community. Then you take the money and the wealth that you get from that first floor and go to the second floor. The second floor is politics. You then take that money on the first floor and you control your politics. Black folk must quit allowing people to tell them to go out and vote. Vote for what? Nobody's going to do anything for black folk in politics. Politics is controlled by money. Major corporations got the money. That's what controls politics. If you have no money, you have no say-so, you have no benefits coming. So you take your money and you control and you take your money on the first floor, you buy every politician on the second floor. And any politician you can't buy, you rent or lease them to get what you need. Then once you get the second floor under control with your politician, with your money, then you go to the third floor. The third floor then is the police department and the court system. You take your money from the first floor and your politics on the second floor and you control the court system and the police department. Then the fourth floor then is media. You then take the money that you generate off the first floor from business and industries and you go after radio stations, TV stations, newspapers, and cable systems so that you can now inform and communicate with your own people. Right now, black folk only control less than 35 thousandths of 1% of the media in the United States. Out of 12,000 radio stations, black folk own about something like about 75 or 80. That's all. You own no cable systems. You don't have a daily newspaper. You have nothing of importance. You got about one black TV station. And so you can't communicate with your people. You can't inform your people. You can't do anything. You can have Rush Limbaugh and all the rest of the guys talking about racism all day long and bad-mouthing you. And O'Reilly, they can call black folk all kind of names all day long. What are you going to do? You can't respond. You can't communicate with your own people because you don't have an economic base. 51% of all the prisons in the United States are black people. You know, even though you only make up 12% of the population. That's no accident. It's because you don't control the economics and the politics. And they're going to go after the weakest people they can get their hands on to incarcerate. That's the black folk. And what are you going to do in response to them when they over-incarcerate you? You're going to go out and have a march or demonstration. We're going to march. March for what? Who cares? Marching, they never changed anything.
Oh, many a young athlete entertains hoop dreams. Few, if any, have tried as hard to make them come true as the kid our Steve Hartman has gone to see.
Every week, he set himself up for disappointment. Every week, 13-year-old Jamarian Stiles came to this community center in Boca Raton, Florida, hoping to play basketball with the other kids. And every week, he was rejected.
They'll start picking teams, and I would be the only one left out. And then they'll just tell me, just go home and stuff. You can break someone's heart like that.
The problem was obvious to everyone but Jamarian. He lost his hands and most of his arms as an infant due to a rare bacterial infection. But he insisted that was no reason to give up his hoop dreams.
What about soccer? Have you heard of that sport?
Yeah, hear it every day.
Why don't you play soccer? That just seems like the obvious thing.
You would think that I would be good at soccer. I'm really not. I'm horrible.
Which is why, on the first day of class here at Eagles Landing Middle School, Jamarian took his case to basketball coach Darian Williams.
Yeah.
Said he wanted to be on the team this year.
I said, all great, well, just make sure you try out.
He said, okay, great, but what are you really thinking?
This man has no arms.
Yeah.
How is he going to play basketball? But, man, he told me, Mr. Williams, I've never been on a team before. Even if I don't play, I just want to be on the team. And how could I say no to that?
And that's how the Eagles got their first armless basketball player. Jamarian, number two there, quickly earned a reputation as the hardest worker on the squad.
He was usually the first one in the gym, usually the last one to leave.
Still, he sat on the bench most of the season.
Try one more.
Until last month. Coach put him in the game with about 6 minutes left. And when he eventually got the ball on the far side of the court, everyone yelled, shoot it! So he did. And sank. A three-pointer. And if you didn't quite see that, don't worry. Because shortly after, he got the ball again. This time on the near side. For another three-pointer. At the buzzer. Jamarian Stiles. The kid no one would pick. Was now everyone's hero. Needless to say, today, Jamarian can play all he wants at the community center. He just made the volleyball team and has every intention of playing football next year. Really, the only thing he won't play is the victim.
If I could wave a magic wand right now and give you your arms back, would you want them?
I don't need them.
You don't need them?
No.
Who needs hands when you've got this kind of touch?
Now, learn this from Joel Osteen. That's my man. He be texting me. That's my man. This God done put some people around me, show me some stuff. He was telling this story. He said this man that went to heaven, and he was walking with Peter down this aisleway, and it was going down this corridor, had a lot of doors on it, and said all these doors had names on it. And he said, Peter, let me ask you something. What's all these doors, these names on? He said, don't worry about it. Just go ahead. So he kept walking. He messed around. He saw one of them doors and had his name on it. He said, whoa. He said, hey, Peter, this here ain't got my name on it. Something I need to know? He said, man, don't worry about that. You here now. Just go on in there and talk to him. See what he's here. He said, nah, I won't know what's in the door. He said, you sure you won't see what's in the door? He said, yeah. So he opened up the door. It was a warehouse. It had number shelves on it. And then the shelves had nothing but packages. And all the packages had his name on them. And he said, what is all these boxes? He said, that's all of the blessings, all of the things God wanted to ship to you. But number one, you didn't ask him for it. Then number two, you didn't believe you would have it. Then you doubted him, and then you felt like you wasn't worthy, and so now all these boxes is up here. Now the man standing there wishing he had never even been in the room, and I started thinking. I got some dudes that work for me, and I said, I want you to do this graph for me, and that's what I'm finna show you now. See, what you're having is, when God sends your package, he only sends it to one street. That's Faith Street. You got to stay in faith. You can't move off of Faith Street. You can't get on Doubted Drive. You can't be over there and start doubting it, because your package going to go right on by. You can't, lose your faith and get on not meant to be way, because your package is going to keep going right on by. Because the package just go to Faith Street. You can get your little feelings hurt, I ain't worthy. Guess what? Your package going to keep going right on by. You have not because you ask not. Then you sit up here and start feeling sorry for yourself. You go on pity way, your package keep going right on by. If you stay right on Faith Street, don't ever come off, because the blessing is coming. If you wait on it, here it comes. It may not come when you want it, but it's on time. But if you get up and you move off of Faith Street, your box gonna get sent back to sender. And now you're gonna have a warehouse with a bunch of boxes with your name on it that you didn't never get. And I don't know about you, but I want everything he got for me. If he got something for me, I need all of mine. Because I don't know about you, but God lay you out, man. God will give you stuff. Man, he done took me places. I ain't never thought I was going to go. I done seen parts of the world I never even thought I could go to. He done gave me stuff. He done put people in my life. God will do it for you, man. But you just got to stay, man. Use these principles of success. Understand, God is just that way. He'll lay you out. Because if he can lay me out, see, if he fix me and change me and get me over here trying to do better, I ain't perfect. I'm just trying to do better. I still say some stuff I ain't supposed to say. You understand? I ain't got it all together yet. I just got in the gate. I'm a new kind of Christian. But ain't no lock on my gate either. So if you see, once you check me, I'm probably going to check you back. But I'm getting better at that. I don't know how to love my enemies yet. I'm getting better at it, though. But it's a process. And the more times we can make people understand that it's a process, the more people can come in. And y'all people that have been good to me, that have been praying for me. I mean, man, my mama, if she could see me now, I just wish my mama could see me. Because she's been praying for this hill all her life. Watch my son. Well, he done watched me, mama. And I'm cool now. And my philosophy is very simple. I was who I was, but I am who I am. And I'm cool with both them people. Because who I was wasn't that bad a cat. I made some mistakes, but I've been changed a little bit. And it's still a process. And the more people that you invite into the process, the better this is. Because ain't nobody perfect no how. So I really appreciate y'all, man, hearing me and listening to me. I'm going to ask Kirk Franklin if he will come.
Because I used to observe that a lot of little shacks used to be by the track where black people were.
With the room in the back.
Yes, with the room in the back. That was a safety net.
Yeah.
Where black people who would move here and there and go from here and there and looking for jobs, that's usually why we move. And the jobs would play out like they always did.
And do.
But we had a place to go when the sun went down. But now, those shacks by the track don't exist anymore. They came and built highways right alongside of those railroad tracks where those shacks used to be. Super highways. So now, if you get on a highway, you might notice that if you... Sometimes you are right alongside of a railroad track. You see trains passing
that
as you are driving.
That is true.
Down a superhighway.
Mm-hmm.
Well, see, those highways used not to be there in the northwestern hemisphere. It used to be shacks along there. A lot of those shacks were on what we call railroad property. But the railroad people, the people that ran the railroads, didn't care much because nobody wanted to be down. That wasn't prime real estate.
No.
Nobody wanted to be by the tracks anyway. So black people used to build little shacks around there back when black people knew how to build shacks. Black people don't know how to build anything now because they used to build places for white people, but they cut them off with things called unions, took them out, took the carpentry all out of the schools and all like that. So how many black people do you know how to fix anything now? It used to be thousands and millions of black people that know how to build a house from scratch out of old pieces of lumber.
Wow.
A lot of people don't remember that. Most people are not that old to have seen it done.
Hmm.
I, coming along, I'm old enough to remember when many black people used to get together on a Saturday afternoon. That was the only time they had off, or sometimes, or on a Sunday sometimes after church. They would get together, six or eight of them, and go down and build what they call a shotgun house. It wasn't much, but it was a roof over your head, a good solid roof. I've been in some of those houses, raised up in some, all right? They were excellent, solid houses. They could stand a lot of storm and rain. They weren't much, just maybe three rooms. But I've been in some of them, and there were many, 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 many of them. But along came the white supremacists and say, these Negroes know how to build stuff. We're going to fix that so the next generation won't know how to do anything except stand in front of a place that is built and big, because they won't know anything about carpentry or masonry or how to make anything with their.
All right. Today, it's sort of an open mic. Well, not sort of open mic, but we do have up, if you guys want to talk about it, the documentary 2,000 Mules. 2,000 Mules, if you watched it, because we did announce it Monday. If you watched it and want to chop it up a little, 619-768-2945 on that. And once again, that's the film, the documentary, rather. 2,000 Mules. So while we're waiting for somebody to call in for that, let's see. Let's bounce back to yesterday. Now, we've got a new community member. I've known him for maybe a couple of months. But he just joined the community yesterday on our Facebook page. Swizzway, okay, and we're going to have him on. Well, when we do stuff with Swizzway, we're going to have him on our Facebook group, so it'll be like a live stream where you can actually see us dialogue, and you can be included as well. We'll do Zoom calls and all that other stuff. Now, we had him on yesterday. But he was kind of having trouble. We were having issues on both ends, but because we usually communicate through WhatsApp app. Anyway, but Swizzway is a young man. He lives in Eswatini. Eswatini is the relatively new name for the African country known as Swaziland. But they had a name change. I don't know if they had that. Maybe they had it right before the pandemic or something like that. But anyway, so Swaziland is now known officially as Eswatini. And it has that country has a royal family. They have a royal family. And it's interesting. It's a small country in Southeast Africa, but it's basically a family business. So, but we got Swizzway, who's a carpenter, and we had just one of his works in a scrolling marquee yesterday, but he's got other stuff. So he's our boots on the ground in Eswatini, and you can look that up, Eswatini, Eswatini, or if you still type in Swaziland, in any search engine, it'll pop up, but then it'll give you, you know, the new name, Eswatini. So he's a carpenter, and Eswatini, from where I'm at right now, is 8,395 miles. Now, of course, if you book a flight, I would say, because you know they're typically layovers and all that, I would say that might be I would say that would probably be close to a 20-hour flight. In any event, so Swizzway, Monday we'll tell you where you can, because we can't patch him into this board here on Blog Talk, because we're trying to really maximize social media, so it won't cost either of us a penny. But you'll be able to dialogue with Swizz Way on our Facebook page, which is It's My House TV. All right, so 2,000 Mules, that's a documentary. If anybody wants to saw it and wants to talk about it, 619-768-2945, that's the number to call. Last week we did Black Gestapo. All right, so today, and how we're going to do this is, like I said, if you saw it and want to discuss it, you know, we can discuss it. It's not. The other trending topics, the trending topic for the, I guess since last Thursday afternoon, so it's been a week and a day now, Kevin Samuels left the building last Thursday, passed away, or transitioned, or you know what, I'd like to say graduated to another plane of existence. If you wanted some, and it, some people like him, some people don't. So we want to discuss Kevin Samuels. The official autopsy report has not been released yet. Also, Naomi Judd transitioned since, I guess, last weekend. When it first was released, they said she died of mental illness. And then a few days later, she had committed suicide by shooting herself. But that's a real big, you know, focus on mental issues. I mean, mental illness. And then there was a case, another trending topic, of the deputy sheriff somewhere in Alabama made an escape with a inmate that lasted 11 days, was it, before they caught up to him. I don't think she planned it well. First thing, the guy that she made a jailbreak with, and this is a deputy sheriff, I think she had been on that job for about 17 years, so we're talking about a career. The guy she broke out, is 6'9". It's kind of hard to hide a 6'9" person, particularly if there's a manhunt going on, with local police, state police, and the FBI. 6'9", and not only that, he had tattoos. So I don't think she really planned that out. All right. Number two, she had put in for her retirement. I don't think she thought really thought that part up because, okay, you put in for your retirement, then before you get your first check, you break this guy out of jail. Now, as soon as they know that something is up, and you know it's relatively quick when they find out something's up, and not within a matter of hours, within maybe 1 or 2 hours, they would have known something was amiss. You're not, and particularly if the government, if this is a retirement, the government's not going to pay you. You're not. They're not even going to send you the first check. So I don't think she thought that part of it out. You know, where would they stay? Now, apparently, they stayed at a motel maybe the first night out. What they did was, now, I don't think that was smart. But they got away with it for a night. They had, apparently the woman had paid somebody to rent the motel room out. However, she checked out when they were checking out, and of course they had her image on camera. So, I mean, you got to do it the whole way. Anyway, so I'm surprised it took them 11 days to catch them. They went from Alabama. They were caught in Indiana. And the car that they were driving had, it flipped over or whatever on its side. The guy, and both their last names were white, unrelated. But he was no problem, apprehending him and him. He didn't put up a struggle or fight or nothing like that. Without incident, as they would call it. But she, and once again, she had been in that particular post for about 17 years, well-respected, well-liked, got employee of the year a couple of times. In law enforcement in that neck of the woods in Alabama. And she had probably, because they have it on video, I'm sure some of you have already seen it. Let the prisoner out. He was had his handcuffs on and all that, and she put him in the back seat. And she had probably done that over the last 17 years, dozens upon dozens of times. But this time, she didn't come back. So anyway. She had a gun. They had a cachet of weapons and $29,000 cash. She originally took out $90,000 out of the bank. But I say to you, $90,000 is no kind of money to run. That's just my opinion. Okay. $90,000 is not, you've had, there was a banker once embezzled like $10 million. And he got caught. It took him about, he was probably, I don't know, they caught up with him in about 2 years or whatever. And he had $10 million. And then, on top of that, let's say you got this money. I mean, every day you're looking over your shoulders. You're paranoid, And then back then America's Most Wanted. There's always some kind of cop show that puts your picture out there, so you're paranoid. And then, when you get relaxed, that might be the time they caught you. Well, Whitey Bulger, he was out there quite a number of years, and I guess when he relaxed, that's when he was caught. But anyway. He wasn't surprised, Whitey Bulger, that is, when he got caught, though. So, in any event, so that's an interesting, she committed suicide. She shot herself, and I don't know if she died. She didn't die immediately, but she did pass on within a matter of few, But I really don't think she thought that whole escape out. And the guy that was with her, the guy that she broke out, he had absolutely nothing to lose unless it was a shootout. And, of course, they had an excuse to shoot him, to kill him. Well, that didn't happen with him. So, in any event. So, all right, 2,000 Mules, if you want to discuss that documentary at all. And then any trending topics that I mentioned or any trending topics that you know about, we'll be back in about 2 minutes. I was
was talking to a cat the other night. He said, what everybody's looking for today? What everybody's looking for today? They're looking for escapism.
Republican, and it's interesting. Sammy Davis Jr., Republican. James Brown, Republican. Kathy Hughes, who is still among the living, she's Republican. Reginald F. Lewis, the first Black American to own and control a billion-dollar company. He was also Republican as well. I'm saying that in a positive light. Let's see. All right. 2,000 Mules. I'm going to read the Wikipedia on this. 2,000 Mules is a 2022 American political film by Dinesh D'Souza. It alleges that Democrat-alleged individuals or mules were paid to illegally collect and deposit ballots into drop boxes in Arizona, Georgia, Michigan, and Pennsylvania, and Wisconsin during the 2020 presidential elections. The film is based on I'm reading this on Wikipedia. This is not me talking. The film is based on faulty assumptions, anonymous accounts, and improper analysis of cell phone location data provided by True the Vote, and True the Vote has its own Wikipedia page. D'Souza asserted as many as 400,000 ballots may have been involved, more than enough to tip the balance in the 2020 presidential election, though True the Vote did not allege any of the ballots were illegal. Okay, content and methodology. Analysis conducted by the Associated Press found the film was based on faulty assumptions, anonymous accounts, and improper analysis of cell phone location data. The AP, Associated Press, explained that in various swing countries across the five states, True the Vote used phone pings to cell phone towers to identify individuals who had True the Vote. The AP explained that in various counties across five states, True the Vote used phone pings to cell phone towers to identify individuals who had passed near the ballot drop boxes in various unnamed nonprofit organizations multiple times per day, concluding that such people were paid mules for ballot collection and deposits. Experts say that the phone pings were not accurate enough to distinguish alleged mules from many other people who might walk, drive by the ballot box or nonprofit during the course of a day, such as delivery drivers, postal workers, and cab drivers. True the Vote asserted that it had conducted a pattern of life filtering of such people prior to the election season, though the AP noted limitations of that approach. The film also asserted that some of the geolocated alleged mules were also present at what they called Antifa riots in Atlanta during the George Floyd protests in the summer of 2020. Although the AP explained that the geolocation data also could not reliably determine why people were present at the event. They could have been peaceful protesters, police or firefighters responding to the protests, or business owners in that area. To illustrate the use of phone geolocation technology, in the film, D'Souza speaks with Greg Phillips, who alleged he used it to identify two suspects in Atlanta in an Atlanta homicide cold case, providing his analysis to the FBI, which he and D'Souza suggested resulted in the arrest of the suspects. All right, the homicide was not, let me skip past that. The film likened this geolocation methodology to that used by the federal investigators to identify individuals in the U.S. Capitol during the January 6th attacks, showing that the MRE, and I'll just skip past all that. All right. Anyway, okay, D'Souza puts out, and I follow D'Souza every now and again, but if you guys saw it, what's your take on it? 619-768-2945. And we're going to go to the phones here. In a couple of minutes. So we'll be, if you want to talk about 2,000 mules or anything else. I'm up here kind of multitasking. Okay. All right. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to do a 2-minute break, then we're going to go straight to the phone lines.
All right. Let the garbage men handle the garbage. We're professional anglers. Okay. We go after the big fish. Chasing them monkey strong crackhead motherfuckers anyway. You know they'd have killed you without hesitating.
That's why they belong in prison.
For what? They got beat down. They lost their rock. They lost their money. The message from Hillside probably going to smoke them. I mean, Jesus, what more you want?
I want justice.
Right? Is that not justice?
That's street justice.
What's wrong with street justice?
Oh, just let the animals wipe themselves out.
God
right?
willing.
Fuck them. Everybody who looks like them. Unfortunately, it doesn't work that way. The good guys, they die first, right?
Those school kids and moms, family men, they don't want to catch the stray bullets in the noodle. To protect the sheep, you got to catch the wolf. And it takes a wolf to catch a wolf. You understand?
What?
I said you protect the sheep
by killing
the motherfucking wolves. No, you didn't hear me. You listening, but you didn't hear me.
Yeah, all right, whatever.
Yeah, whatever. Whatever the fuck ever.
When do you lock anybody up? I mean, it seems like you're pretty busy keeping people out.
What the fuck you talking about? You know what you're talking about, Biddy Boot. Got nothing but shit between your ears. Shit, they build jails because of me. Judges have handed out over 15,000 man years of incarceration time based on my investigations, okay? My record speaks for itself. How many felons have you collared? Huh? Yeah, I rest my case.
Look, man, I'm not smoking crack, all right?
Yeah, I don't... Just put it in the glove box. Put the $60 in there, too. That'll come in handy later on. We'll use it like a credit card or something. Hey, no matter what I say, you did the right thing. Reminds me when I was out there chasing down bad guys, rocking their world. That was some pretty amazing shit you did back there, Oi.
Thanks.
Yeah, I noticed you applied that chokehold, though, huh? I thought that was a no-no procedure, boy.
I was getting my ass kicked.
Yeah, and you did what you had to do, right? You did what you had to do.
That's right.
Oh! That's what a wolf does. You a wolf?
Come on, wolf. Oh, come on, dog.
Oh. Oh. No, I said a wolf, not a rooster. A wolf.
Oh. Oh, 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 oh. Oh, oh, oh. That's a rooster. Give me a wolf.
Fuck this, man. Give me that beer.
Ah, there you go. That's my nigga.
All right. That was a piece from Training Day when they were still buddies. Anyway, 2,000 mules, okay. What do you guys think? Was the last election, presidential election, was there any monkey business going on? Before I open up the phones, I don't know how close attention that the average person pays attention to the presidential election, but now, correct me if I'm wrong. These politicians on a national, particularly the presidential election, they're 50 states, and I don't think people running for president even visit all 50 states. Number one, correct me if I'm wrong on this. What they do visit is they visit densely populated areas, densely populated areas, and then within those areas, densely populated regions. As one stat I've mentioned on here a lot of times, is 75 to 80% of the population of the United States only occupies 3 to 5% of the land mass, and is really concentrated. The major hubs are, let me put this stat out there. There are 19,500 municipalities in the United States. All right. Out of those 19,500 municipalities, and there are other communities that are not incorporated. A municipality is a community that has a municipal charter they have incorporated. So how many, I'm trying to figure out how many towns, communities do exist in the United States, but as far as municipalities, 19,500 of them. Now, it's only 365 days in a year. Correct me if I'm wrong, there's never been a president running for president of the United States that has visited 19,500 that has made 19,000 500 campaign stops. Out of those 19,500 municipalities in the United States, only 10 of them have a population of a million people or more. Only 10 of them. New York, L.A., Los Angeles, California, Texas, Chicago, that's three. Then in Texas alone, and this is the top 10, you got San Antonio, Dallas, Texas, and then you've got Houston, Texas. That gives us up to six. I think the San Diego in there somewhere. Well, look up, but it's only 10 cities in the United States that have a population of, and also corresponding with them, they're the 10 largest metro areas. But there's never been a president running, because it's mathematically impossible to make 19,500 campaign stops. There are only 365 days in a year, and there are only 24 hours in a day. The vast majority, I mean, once you step out of those areas, you know, who's going to Taft, Oklahoma? Who's going to Pembroke, Illinois? You know, have they ever stopped through Bangor, Maine? Have they ever come through Everett, Washington? They might have come through Seattle, Washington, but have they gone to Everett, Washington? Nome, Alaska? You know, Whittier, Alaska. You know, Trump got in the first time, and just in my opinion, he appealed to people outside of, I think, 47% of the population of the United States live in towns that have a population of less than 10,000 people per community. And that's where the Electoral College comes in at, because it picks up the little man or woman. So in any event, the landscape, you know. Now, once again, correct me if I'm wrong. Has there ever been somebody running for office that has made 19,500 campaign stops? Because Mount Bayou, Mississippi has people that, you know, they have voters there, just like they have voters in New York City. However, New York City has a lot more voters. So, you know, since they're only 365 days in a year and only 24 hours in a day, and there's only, you know, you got two presidential four people. You got the person that's on the ticket, two people running on the ticket, Republican ticket, Democratic ticket. So that's four people. It is mathematically impossible to make 19,500 campaign stops. They couldn't pull it off in 4 years, let alone a two-year election cycle. So, in any event, 2,000 mules, you know, now, well, they've got some audio clip, but not audio clip, they have some clips on, what do you call it, the YouTube. But what do you guys think? 619-768-2945. And was the election, was there any tampering? 314, your mic is open.
L.A., your analogy on campaign is wrong.
Okay, I'm listening.
You don't have to go to 19 municipalities.
19, people in Tampa, you don't have Oklahoma, to go to 19,000 municipalities. People as much as people in St. Louis.
Let me tell you why you don't have to go there. Because when Trump came to St. Louis, people in those municipalities came to St. Louis to listen to him. You don't have to go to those then. They've been doing it forever. In Kansas City, when he went to Kansas City, people in surrounding counties in Kansas City came to Kansas City to listen to him.
People do travel.
That's how it works.
Well, people do travel. You're right.
I went to St. Louis and listened to Trump's rally there in Kansas City at the Kiel Auditorium. That's the way that works. You go out to the big metropolitan area, and everything else is going to follow.
I did say that, though. They do go to the big metro areas. I did say that.
Now, on 2000 Mule, the key thing, you skipped over those. When they tracked down the killers of that black girl shot in the head, they used technology, the same technology that the FBI used to go after everybody and anybody that was around the Capitol during January 6th.
Mm-hmm.
So if it worked then, why come they want to dismiss it as they used to track down these ballot stuffers who was being paid $10 per ballot? And to say that it was alleged, why do you got people on camera pulling up and stopping their car in the wee hours of the morning? You know it's in the wee hours of the morning, but they don't even bother to park at the curb. They just stop there in the lane, open their door, get out, walk up to the ballot box, and stuff and put more than one ballot in the box. And that same cell phone ping, just like when somebody steals your cell phone,
right,
the police can track it with that ping. It's specific to you. That article you read is biased and misleading. That ping is specific to you, not only as the cases that they mentioned where they have caught criminals. It has been going on in other instances and events, too, where they catch criminals because they leave that phone. That phone tells you where it is. So when you have a ballot location, a ballot drop location, several times a day and several times in the wee hours of the night, in the morning, should I say, 1, 2, 3, 4 o'clock in the morning, well, should that not bring up some suspicious? That's not usual. You had another location where they cut the surveillance camera off. You had another location where the woman got out of the car with surgical gloves on, walked up to the ballot box, put in an assortment number of ballots, more than her family members that probably signed up because they were disabled and couldn't go. Then she meticulously took off the gloves, walked over to the trash can, and threw the gloves in the trash can. Well, whatever the dangers were that caused her to wear the gloves to carry that stack of ballots up to the ballot box did not exist when she deposited those ballots in the ballot box, or papers in the ballot box. No, you know what it was? In Arizona, the FBI, unusually, was able to pull the fingerprints off of several ballots. Now, you know, once you take a ballot out of the envelope, you don't know who it is. You really don't. You don't know who it is. But one thing for sure, that if somebody is dropping off ballot for their disabled relative, you're probably talking about maybe one person. You ain't talking about no handful of ballots. So, no, there's a lot of legitimacy in what went on, and we know it is. Heck, you had some cases where you had more ballots deposited than, as you made mention, these small towns, than people was in the whole damn town. So are you saying that people came from surrounding areas to go past their own ballot box, to go past go to this particular ballot box to drop off these ballots? It don't make no sense. So when they say allegedly in the assumption, it's just another dismissal of what really happened. And here, to throw gasoline on the fire, you got the Secretary of State of Pennsylvania, the Commonwealth, who came out and publicly went against having undercover police officers at each ballot box, or even uniformed police officers at each ballot box, or even having a sign warning people of the activity that's clearly against the law, depositing ballots that you have no business having in your possession. He came out against that. He came out against three things. The sign, he say that intimidates voters. He came out against having a uniformed police officer watching people, observing people as they drop off. He say that intimidates voters. But he also said he came out against undercover, plain clothes dressed people watching. He say, well, that intimidates voters. Well, goddamn, how do you want to have it? No, what it is, you just don't want that illegal procedure to go on in elections from thenceforth. It don't matter if it's Mickey Mouse, Donald Duck, Bullwinkle, anybody could be running. You want to have free and clear, transparent elections. You cannot have what you had in 2020. And actually, it happened before that. And one other thing, ballots, federal ballots and state and local ballots should be separated. The candidates for president, vice president, congressperson, and U.S. Senate should be on one ballot. The people that vote on those ballots should be specially vetted and identified. The ballot should be held different to assure that the count is accurate. And at the end of the day, the end of the voting day, those ballots should be tabulated, calculated, and called in, witnessed by the people that have been bonded to work on that ballot box, on that ballot position, that polling place. You don't have to have separate buildings. It's just got your machines that you go to for the federal ballot is located right over there. When you get done for voting over there, you can come over here and vote for state and local. Why is that? Simple, because in some states, they allow illegals, people that don't have no business being in the country, to vote. And you can't tell me, and how would you ever know if they just slipped right on up to the top and checked off a president, vice president, congressperson, and U.S. Senate? You never would know.
That is
right?
A possibility.
The ballot doesn't have any means to tie itself into any particular person, which I think is wrong. I think it should have something. I think when that ballot comes out of that envelope, it should have numbers on it that matches the numbers on the envelope. And the people that bring the ballot to you and drop it off at a post office should be able to be vetted electronically from fingerprints, face recognition, the iris in your eyes. That technology
That's a very good idea. Very good idea. To your knowledge, is there any kind of legislation for that to come into being?
The U.S. Constitution allows for that. It don't allow for the polling places. That's up to the states. But the U.S. Constitution do allow for that special ballot that can be used for federal elections, and Congress should adopt that. For another simple reason is that you never would get 50 sovereign countries and their municipalities within to all walk lockstep together. They're not going to do that. But that federal ballot can be however Congress wanted to be when it comes down to the vetting and the implication of marking it toward an election candidate. And that's what they need to do. That's what should be done. The hell with the states. If the states want to cheat like we see, let them cheat. But let them cheat for their own direct representation rather than a national representation. And we got some members of society, and I'm sure you know who they are. They think that the president solves every goddamn thing. Their trash didn't get picked up at time. Call the White House. A tree fell out in the alley. Call the White House. My milk was spoiled.
You're right about that. Some people, when even, I guess it was done out of desperation.
They're a bunch of dumbasses. That's what they are. Call them what they are. They're a bunch of dumbasses.
Well, maybe they don't know how government works.
And that's dumb,
that?
Right?
Well, I'm
what
not
else
gonna
you
go
gonna
that far with it.
It's dumb.
Well,
they dumb.
Let me give you an example. We had a guest on here some years ago. Matter of fact, I need to reach out to her. Her son was killed in Orlando, and she reached out to Al Sharpton, she reached out to Jesse Jackson, and I guess she put a letter into the White House. She heard back from Al Sharpton, but Al Sharpton said, well, you know, for him to come to Orlando, you know, his $30,000 plus expenses. So she didn't get any help from the White House. This was a mother who lost her son. She was reaching out the best way she knew how. I wouldn't call her dumb. She just didn't know.
Well, first, how did she lose her son?
Her son was shot in church.
Shot by who?
Orlando police.
Well, that's supposed to be handled locally first.
I agree. Now, you know that. I know that. But I'm just telling you the part of the story that
I know it and you know it? Why do I know it and you know it?
Well, I guess we might read or watch the news occasionally or, you know.
And not doing that makes you what? It makes you dumb.
Well, I would say, you know what, ignorant. I'm going to use that word. It's a nicer word.
And that's another thing. We like to put too much symbolism in how we go about describing things. The person that don't know their civic responsibility are dumb when it comes to correcting and coming up with solutions on how to solve the problem. Simple as that.
Anyway. Quite a few people are not aware of their
Nobody didn't say that
right.
Dumbness got a particular. Dumbness don't have no exclusive limitation to it. It can be very, very prominent within a community of people, a population. That's just the way it is. You got those who in the know, and you got those who don't know. Everybody don't need a whole lot of money because they wouldn't know how to go about dealing with it. Everybody don't need to be rich. They wouldn't know how to go about dealing with it.
That is true. All right, let me ask you something about this. What's your take on Dinesh D'Souza? Because he's the one that is. This is his project.
Like this old saying goes, worry about the message, not the messenger. John the Baptist didn't do anything. John the Baptist wasn't no special person. He lived out in the wilderness, ate locusts, and walked around with sandals on. He didn't have no socks like we see some food today walking around with sandals and socks. But it was the message that was of importance. And some people have a particular way of delivering a message. They may be some of the most scoundrels in the community. Like the mayor of Washington, D.C., Barry.
Oh, former mayor.
Crackhead.
Now, what about Barry? Mayor Barry. The late
He's a crackhead.
He did have a habit.
Barry and Barry was a crackhead.
Actually, I don't know if he had a habit or he was a recreational user, but he got busted. He got busted. You know, his son passed away from drug use. His only child passed away from well, his son, was always like it.
A recreation, an addict, what's the difference? One do it on a regular basis, right? People have recreation on a regular basis. People have recreational sex on a regular basis.
Well, that's true. Or he was a functioning, what do you call it, like functional alcoholics? He was functional, however you want to define that as. But his son passed away a few years ago. He was like on some kind of
drug. Unfortunately. Yeah, but the thing is with the documentary is explaining everything that had been warned. Donald Trump warned about it. You know, he had information on what's going on. Thing is that you've seen people like Barr, and it don't matter what coat you wear as far as political affiliation, Barr was no damn good at what he was supposed to have been doing. Jeff Sessions was no damn good at what he was should have been doing. Just like you see out in California with these silly things like codified abortion. Or like you got people walking around howling and marching and protesting, talking about the Supreme Court is getting ready to overturn a law. Abortion never have been a law in the United States. It was not for the Supreme Court to legalize abortion. So people that think that, guess what they are, L.A.? They dumb. Simple as that.
Wait a minute, Pianchi. Speaking of Trump, I believe, somebody correct me if I'm wrong, let's see, Elon Musk purchased Twitter, and Trump is allowed to go back on Twitter now? I think I heard that yesterday.
But why did the executives quit?
I didn't hear
the
that part.
The former executives.
Don't know.
They all left.
I just thought they sold the company. Oh, I don't know.
They left because they knew what the hell was coming. They didn't sell nothing. And they didn't own the company. The company was public. They left because they knew what was coming. Because the crap that they was doing, they was either bribed, bought into doing what they done, and that's denying free the usage of a person's free speech. See, rights are not bestowed upon the group. Rights are individual. Constitution gives individual rights. Bill of Rights gives individual rights, not bestowed upon a population entirely. Because a population entirely may not want it. Simple as that. Requiring people to wear a mask by a federal government is totally against its authority. They don't have the authority to require people to give up their liberties. But people are what, L.A.? They dumb. They let that stuff go down.
Oh, I'm reading it here. Elon Musk says he'll reverse Donald Trump's Twitter ban. And that story was put out 3 days ago.
Well, should he not reverse Minister Farrakhan's Twitter ban too?
I didn't know Farrakhan was banned.
Should not Minister Farrakhan?
I'm all for free speech.
Should not Farrakhan's ban be reversed on Facebook? They use Donald Trump's name in order to stir up some emotions. That's what they do.
The news media.
Simply because they fake.
Yeah, now, Trump, doesn't he have a social media platform up now?
To my understanding, yes.
Yeah, I haven't. I forgot the name of it. I haven't heard much about it.
Facebook and Twitter. Facebook and Twitter.
It opened last month, I think.
Yeah, Facebook and Twitter and others are simply common carriers. That's what they should be designated as. Just like you designate AT&T, Southwest, and Bell as common carriers, can get on and express their opinions.
Okay.
Without being deterred.
All right, anybody else out there?
I would recommend people watch it, and if they understand what they're looking at, I tell you something else that should be watched is another documentary called Athens, Tennessee. And you
Athens,
see how
Tennessee.
You see how the people of that town rose up to take over the corrupted government and law authorities when it came down to the ballot. People back then wasn't joking. Today, they dumb.
Okay, Athens, Tennessee. Athens, Tennessee is known, let's see, what is it known for? Great Smoky Robinson. I don't know. Every time I say Smoky, I come up with Robinson. Great Smoky Mountains National Park. All right. It's simply called Athens, Tennessee. Oh, hold on, let me look at it. Documentary.
The document is on YouTube. Good documentary.
The Battle of you're talking about the Battle of American Civil War.
Battle of
Athens,
Tennessee. Yes,
okay,
absolutely. Good document. There's a lot of good documents on there, like one of my favorite generals of all time, Robert E. Lee. George Patton.
Let's go to Robert E. Lee. Why was Robert E. Lee, head of the Confederate Army, one of your favorite generals?
He was an American soldier. He performed explicitly exemplary in the Mexican-American War. Texas wouldn't be what it is today if it hadn't been for that war being won by Americans. Robert E. Lee fought under the leadership of Scott.
You know, there's a couple of guests I had on here just once. I'm going to see if I can track them down.
The Mexican-American War with Ulysses Grant, who, by the way, had some health problems, I guess you could say mental problems, mental problems or physical problems. And Robert E. Lee stood by his side. He happened to fight. He also, him and another two, a lieutenant colonel, I can't think, his name was Isaac something. They shut down John Brown, that foolish attempt that he was trying to do. Hung his ass.
Robert E. Lee
fought in the Civil War. Of course, he led the Union forces in the Civil War after Lincoln tried to get him to lead the Union forces. And to show his dedication for his quote-unquote state, people, he refused to fight against his state of Virginia.
Let me ask you this. All right. Let's say hypothetically.
He was also instrumental in the formation of West Point, which, by the way, is one of the reasons why America had such great leadership in many of the wars around that time, because their leadership was trained at West Point.
Let's see, they took his statue off of a monument in New Orleans.
I don't blame him. I wouldn't leave that down there in that crime-ridden city neither.
All right, interesting. Well, now, what's your take on, all right, the Republican Party was started you might know better than me. What's your take on that? The origins of the Republican Party.
And what's about it? I mean, any group can start a party if they want to.
Yeah, but, you know, their whole thing was, well, not whole thing, was to abolish slavery. And most black folk were Republicans prior to FDR.
That's when they was probably smart, most, but not exclusive.
I would say, too, yeah, I'm really to the right of the Republicans. I'm like libertarian. But because I believe in
You believe that your borders should be wide open?
Minimal regulation. I think there's too much government
libertarians,
right now.
Libertarians believe that the border should be right open. People should have a right to travel wherever they want.
Well, in a pure sense, I would go along with that.
And with the Constitution.
I already know that there's some crazies out there. I admit there's got to be some government, but I think right now there's too much government, and I think black folks in the United States on a critical mass basis rely too much on government. That's I would abolish a whole lot of social programs. But that's just me.
The borders should be protected, as even the Bible states that you need to protect your border. Well, that brings up a problem, too. Do libertarians follow the word of God? It talks about borders. It talks about putting up fences in the Bible.
I think that the wall, wherever that wall might be, eventually walls go up and eventually they come down.
Well, if you take down your national borders, then you still got your state borders.
Yeah, you do.
And the people within those states. Those people in those states got a right to protect their state borders. Federal government shouldn't be flying in, transporting in illegals across them state borders the way they do.
I mean, do we really need to have local, state, and federal governments?
Yes. That's the society. That's the way the nation was founded. Constitution allows states. A state constitution allows cities, towns, and villages to exist, and those cities, towns, and villages to enact their own ordinances that control a variety of things within those cities, towns, and villages.
Yeah, but every year we get more and more government, more and more regulation, more and more. That's why I like the small towns, because in the smaller towns you have less government.
Yeah, but who gives the government the power to exist?
Well, ultimately it's the people.
And then if people don't do what they're supposed to do, how do you label them? They dumb.
Hmm.
You can't get away from it. They dumb. Do they have to be? No, they choose to be. Why do they choose to be? Because they're too lazy to do what's necessary so that they don't be dumb.
Or are they, I mean, because you got some people out here, they really don't have much leisure time to even think. I mean, they're struggling just to make ends meet. Daily existence.
Why would people build a house when you open the door, you step off the second floor to the ground? That sounds like dumbness to me, don't you?
Well.
What else can it be? You open the door, you step out, you fall to the damn ground. What else can it be? Is that not dumbness?
Unless you repair it.
What is it to repair it? The door was fine.
Or build it right the first time.
The door is not broke, L.A. the door is not broke. The door works fine. You turn the knob, it opens up. You step out, you fall to the ground. Whoever designed it and built it was dumb.
Now, you take it for granted, the person might not even know how to, they were just taking their chance on putting something together.
Now we come up with excuses. Maybe
now,
those same people.
Now, if the person knew how to do something and then shortcut it, yeah, that's
they intentionally drew it up. So now we come up with an excuse and say, well, maybe they suffer from slave syndrome. Mm. All these excuses for dumbness. They sat down at the table. They took pencil, eraser, sliding tea, and drew it up. They went out and bought it and hung the door. Plumbed it and shimmed it, trimmed it out. So when you walk up to the door, you turn the knob, it opens perfectly fine. You let it go, it don't swing one way or the other. It's perfectly plumb, in and out sideways. But when you step out, you step and fall to the ground. That's dumbness.
Mm.
Now you can go another level and call it stupidity, however you want. But anyway, that's my comment on 2009.
Okay, 2000 Mules. Anybody else got any comments on anything they heard? And I guess we do have somebody. You know, before we go to the next caller, I popped up here with Robert E. Lee. Robert E. Lee's views on, and I'm reading from Wikipedia, Robert E. Lee's views on race and slavery, because I'm reading this because I didn't know. Right, several historians have noted that they consider the contradictory nature of Robert E. Lee's beliefs and actions concerning race and slavery. While Lee protested that he had sympathetic feelings for blacks, they were subordinate to his own racial identity, which was probably common at the time. While Lee held slavery to be an evil institution, he also saw some benefit to blacks being held in slavery. While Lee helped assist several slaves to freedom in Liberia and provided for their emancipation in his own will, he believed the enslaved should be eventually freed in a general way only at some unspecified future date as part of God's purpose, whatever that means. Slavery for Robert E. Lee was a moral and religious issue, and that one that would be held politically.
It became a moral issue much later on. People started having sympathy because they getting to the point where they didn't need them. But it was a business. It was not a business that was initiated by Americans. It was a business that was initiated by Africans themselves. Africans had slaves before they even seen any person with a white skin. And why did they? Because it was people they did not want any more of. It was a people that nobody cared about. When you walk a group of captives from the southern tip of Burkina Faso, Wa, and Tagara, you walk them down to the main slave port there in Kumasi, guess what? You pass through towns. You pass through villages. You two people are escorting maybe a half dozen or more, well, you could have been easily overcome by the people in those villages to let those folks go. But guess what? They didn't want to have nothing to do with it. Think. Where about in Florida do you stay?
I'm in Lakeland, Florida, in between Tampa and Orlando.
If you were to try to march a dozen people to Tampa, you and Warren Houston, You think anybody along the way will stop you?
No. Just for walking?
If you had chains on people, had them shackled together, yoked together, and you're going to go from where you are to Tampa, do you think anybody along the way would question your...
I'm sure some people would stop and be... Some people would stop and wonder, what's going on?
They would stop and investigate. Now, would you?
Yeah, they would stop
and investigate. Well, back then, in those days, they did not because they didn't give a damn and didn't care. And probably they condoned it as a punishment.
Hmm. Well, all right, we're going to take a two-minute break here. We're going to come back. Take another caller. We'll be back in 2 minutes. Now, next Friday, all right, we're going to do a movie review on The Battle of Athens. It's another documentary. Also, if you have a film that you want to, and it doesn't have to be a documentary, but you want a film review, that we're going to save Fridays and have fun with that. But first, on deck for next Friday, The Battle of Athens. So you got all weekend and all of next week. That's what we'll be talking. If we have more than one film review, fine. But that will be one of them, The Battle of Athens. I'm going to take, I want you guys to take one with me. A two-minute break. We're going to go to the next caller. We'll be right back.
How'd it go? We got one out of two of them motherfuckers, you know?
You mean you motherfuckers come strolling in here all walking tall and shit?
Yo, B.I., man, I'm saying, man, we was blazing on them dudes, man, you know what I'm saying? Just got in the heat, man. We was blazing, though. It was late.
All right, relax, man. I already heard. Go sit down. I'm not tweaking behind none of this. That's one less motherfucker that's breathing than was yesterday, you know what I'm saying? So we all good. But I'm surprised with you, though, man. Shit didn't get by you back when.
Well, my man's fault, man. I unloaded on the younger too soon, man. Gave him enough room to buck and run, man. I fucked that shit up myself, you know.
Hold on. It's on me. I had that kid in my sights, close enough to take off his Kango and half his dome with it. Couldn't squeeze the trigger. Couldn't do it, man.
Why not?
Wasn't in me, I guess. You know, whatever it is in you that lets you flow like you flow and do that thing, it ain't in me no more.
Alright. So you done soldiering, but you ain't done. Could use you for what you got in your head. We're going to put you on a corner. You could be inside.
Oh, man. I ain't making myself clear. The game ain't in me no more. None of it.
But you ain't done shit else. You know what I'm saying? So what you going to do?
But it can't be this.
All right, then. We straight.
B, he was a man in his time, you know?
He a man today. He a man.
All right, that was a little clip. Cuddy gets out of the game and the TV show The Wire, which President Obama, that was one of his favorite programs when he got a chance, I guess, the rare opportunity to watch. Well, you can watch everything on demand these days, so. That's how that goes. All right, let's go back to the phone lines here. 410 area code, your mic is open.
Hotel, Brother L.A., I'm not going to address the subject unless my buddy's phone is muted.
Everybody's phone is muted except for yours.
Thank you. You know, Brother L.A., common sense is common, but it's not so common with common folk. And before I get into this 2000 Mule documentary, I want to try and walk the audience through a scenario that may make sense. To some it doesn't matter because common sense really doesn't register with some people because King Solomon said, never speak wisdom on the ears of a fool. But let me go ahead and say this. Nowhere in history has the institution of slavery existed the way it existed in the Americas, where a person was put in bondage and put in bondage until they died. Check the history books. You know, facts. You know, facts are a stubborn thing. But, you know, they can't be refuted. Now, if you go to the Bible, in which there's some source, I very rarely use that source. When a man owed a debt, or a woman owed a debt, what they do is they'll rent out their services to the person they owed the debt to until that debt was covered. And if they wanted to stay in slavery from then on out to that person that they were enslaved to, they had that right to stay there. In fact, I think nailed to the ear to make sure that people knew that that person was going to belong to that person for the rest of their life. If they had children, those children was in bondage to a point, but not necessarily. Now, here's the thing. When that person's debt was paid that was enslaved to another person, that person was given sufficient amount to go out on their own to do what they needed to do because of their term in slavery. Now, you can read that in the Bible. Some people don't read the Bible because they feel like, hey, you know, that's irrelevant. Now, let me give you this. The reason why they did that was because it was based on an agrarian or agricultural society. Now, they had cowrie shells, silver and gold and all of that stuff, but if you didn't have it, you could render your services to pay your debt. Now, that was all throughout Africa. Now, you know, if you want to read the history books, it's there. But, you know, some people just ignore history when they try to, what's the word I'm looking for, when they want to redefine history. Now, let me give you another example. If I own a house, and I still owe the debt on that house, and I sold that house to another person, that debt attached to the house, once I agreed to the sale, that debt associated attached to the house, once it goes to the new owner and they paid what I asked for it for, I don't have any the debt to that house is not, I can't go back and say, I want you to reclaim that debt. But that's the same thing about slavery in America. Once that person was sold, that person owed a debt and it hadn't been fully satisfied. Once they made a transition to sell that person into slavery to America, then that person that's remaining on the continent has no more claim to that person. So if that person goes out there and makes a whole bunch of money or get reparations ever, what have you, those people in Africa have no claim on that person because, look, their rights were sold with that person. Now, you don't have to agree with it, but just think. All you got to do is think, hey, if Beasley's in slavery and my debt to that person was $100 and I had worked off $50 of it, once you sold Beasley to that, ever who it was, to go in slavery in America, that debt's been covered because you ever what you negotiated for, all of that was included in the debt that person still had remaining on the books to you who sold it. So if an African-American over here gets reparations, and get some money, that person in Africa cannot come back and say, well, you didn't finish your debt, because, hell, he sold his right when he sold a person. Now, you don't have to agree with it, but, you know, that's just common sense. Now, let me give you another one. If it was a bunch of riffraff going on those boats from Africa to America, I tell you what, America benefited greatly, because that riffraff was what built America, regardless of what you hear some fools say. The Africans cut down the trees, cleared the land, and brought some technology over here with them as far as agriculture is concerned. If you look at all of the colonies that were started before slavery got into force here, all of those colonies failed because those Europeans didn't know what the hell to do. Because that was riffraff that was coming over here, bottom of the barrel, and the ones in prison, they emptied out those convicts to come over here. Georgia was a convict colony. Australia was a convict colony. That was where the riffraff come from. Now, as far as Africa's concerned, now you tell me anything that was successful before the Africans got here. The Africans, with their technology and their knowledge and their brawn and their brains, is the reason why America is the giant economic force that it is today. And I dare anybody to come up and disclaim or either try to disprove what I'm saying. All you got to do is look at the facts. But you have some people out here trying to come up with revisionist history. That's what it's called, revisionist history, to try and go ahead on and put America in a good light. And America is in a good light. But the thing is, hey, you need to come with the truth. And you need to come with some damn common sense. And you need to be able to think outside the fucking box, the damn box. And when you have these people out here with these little theories and these little personal opinions that can't be backed up by fact, that's where the confusion comes in at. Because, see, they've been destroyed by propaganda. And the thing is, that propaganda comes from their white controllers, because that's all they are. They're sellouts. And I'm saying it. And if they don't like it, call me. I'll debate anybody that wants to debate that. So now, let's get to your 2,000 mules. I wasn't able to get on the streaming service because I didn't want to give out personal information. I read some of the reviews, and I saw some of the trailers.
Right.
And the question that I asked, because, see, I'm a dummy. I'm a fool. According to some, I'm a fool. Correct me if I'm wrong and have that person answer my damn questions. If you know of anything that happens illegally, isn't it your duty as an American citizen to go in and file a warrant or either have those people arrested? I'm just asking. If you know something illegal happened, you're supposed to go in and alert the authorities and have them go in and arrest those people and try them amongst a jury of their peers. Am I right or wrong? Help me.
You're correct.
I'm not too smart. Am I right or wrong?
Yeah, because you get in trouble for not doing it.
Tampering with the elections and the process of electing an official is illegal in the United States, all 50 states of the United States. Is that right or wrong?
That is an illegal act.
Now, if I have proof and I can come up with names and faces of people that tampered with ballot boxes, that should be a federal offense, shouldn't it?
Yes.
Okay. Have these people that's making this claim in the document, 2000 Mules documentary, have they asked or requested the arrest of those people that stuffed those ballot boxes?
I do not know.
Is there anything on record?
I don't know. I haven't checked. I don't know.
Well, you ask my buddy when he gets back up here. I haven't seen it. Now, he might know about some people being arrested for tampering. But I want to know who they are and when it happened. Now, the other thing is the ninjas over there in Arizona said that there was election fraud. They went through, and I think they went through a whole year or two of Goree going back over those ballots. And if I'm not mistaken, they didn't find any irregularities. Now, these were Republican poll investigators called ninjas. They went through and said, look, we want you to go through every damn ballot because there was voter fraud here. And they came up, correct me if I'm wrong, and my boy can come and tell me, they didn't find any voter irregularities after a year or 2 years of having those people go back and go through all of them damn ballots. Now, every time that these conservative Republicans said there was voter fraud and they went to court, they lost. And the people that was judges over all of those cases were either conservative Republicans judges that was appointed by conservative presidents, and they had some liberal judges that was appointed by liberal presidents. And every time they file a claim, I think in Pennsylvania and everywhere else, they throw the stuff out of court because they didn't have any fucking damn evidence. Every last one of them. So now, when you come up with this documentary, at least show some proof, call some names, or either, hey, turn that evidence into the authorities so that they can prosecute those people. I don't think it's ever been done. So every time there's been a claim of, and look, by the way, I voted for Donald Trump twice, and I told you why. Your audience, if they have been listening to your program over
here. I've heard you say it.
I voted for him twice, and everybody know why I voted for him, and I'll vote for him again. But the thing is, it's about time for these idiots to stop whining. God damn it, go ahead on with your life. You got other shit to do. But the thing is, all of these things that they say happened that was irregularities, and they have gone to court, they have lost either the stuff been thrown out of court for insufficient evidence. Now, you can come up and say, well, you know what, the justice system ain't right. But damn it, that's the only standard you can go by if you're a conservative. The rule of law is what you go by. Now, if your case did not come up with any evidence to show that there's been voter tampering or voter fraud, some documentary can't come up and say otherwise. And look, all you got to do is look at the source. If you look at Denise DeSosa's bio, that's all he's ever done is tamper with voting. Look, consider the source. He's been prosecuted. So now, my thing is this year. Yeah, you're right.
He did a little jail time too, didn't he?
He did some jail time, I think 5 or 6 months, but just look at his record.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Now, look, they say don't destroy the messenger. Just listen, look at the message. Well, I looked at the damn message. The message is flawed. I ain't even going to take his reputation. I'm going to take his message. The message, it don't measure up. It doesn't pass the smell test. And then people going to come and tell you that, hey, look, it's authentic. They want you to go look at this with your eyes wide shut and not use your common sense. You know, that's what gets me about some of our people. You know, they want you to look at this, and they want you to take that without doing your analysis, without forming your own opinion. And because they know when you do the analysis and you check and look at the claims that they're making, they're bogus. And then they have nerve enough to say, well, the liberal press is saying that it's not true because they want Biden to win. Hell, I hate Biden. I could give a shit about Biden. That's why I voted for Donald Trump. I voted for Donald Trump against Hillary Clinton because, see, none of them worth a shit. None of them. as a black man. See, if you're black, you know darn well they don't have your best interest at heart. You know, but that's a problem with black conservatives and black liberals. But the thing, all I'm just saying is that the proof is in the eating of the pudding. If those Republicans had some proof, and those Republican conservative think tanks had some proof, they'd be prosecuting some people. Now, let me give you where voter fraud did take place. Katherine Harris, if you can remember back that far, purged the voting records of 107,000 black folk or more. And that was the reason why George Bush won the election and they had those hanging chairs. I don't know if you remember it or not. Those hanging chairs where they eliminated just about every black voter's vote with those hanging chairs because they know that blacks was going to vote straight Democrat. And they went in and they messed up those damn ballots to where it would go towards Republicans or they could dismiss them. Hanging chairs. I don't know if you remember that or not. And the other thing is they elected George Bush in the Supreme Court when he lost the popular vote. That's voter fraud. That's tampering with the election. Ain't nowhere in the hell a Supreme Court is supposed to elect the president, but they did it. But I don't hear nobody talking about that. I don't hear a damn word. In fact, I think they said, correct me if I'm wrong, because I could be wrong, that Trump was registered to vote in, what, one or two states. I noticed that Meadows, is that his chief of staff or was his chief of staff, was registered in about two or three different places illegally. They ain't done nothing to his ass. They ain't saying nothing about that being voter fraud. So my thing is this here. People out there, use your common sense, do your analysis, and when you hear people coming up with this bullshit, listen very carefully, but go back and check behind them because you might find that, hey, look, they ain't what they said it. It ain't what they say it is. If you don't do your own thinking out here now, you're in a mess. And I'm going to end with this year. What is it? It says, what will we weave when we seek to deceive?
I know what you're talking about. Oh, what a web we weave when we, what a tangled web we weave when we
seek to
deceive.
When we seek to deceive. Remember that.
Right.
And I'm going to close out here. Let your boy come back in here.
I'm wrapping it up for today. I'm wrapping it up. The Battle of Athens. That's one film thing we're gonna do next Friday. You got another suggestion?
I'll send it to you. But let's see what happens with this Tennessee thing.
Oh, okay. Well, that like I said, that's next Friday. So, okay.
Yeah.
Any comment on? I don't know if you listened to what's his name, Kevin Samuels. Would you ever listen to his stuff?
Yeah, I haven't, but I've seen some clips of him and I've read about him. But look, brother LA, I'm gonna tell you something. You know what? People can make money doing anything. And the best way that you make money is to go out and lambast or even insult some damn body. Some of the stuff he says is pretty good, but a whole lot of it is damning. And the thing is, brother LA, if you want to make some money, all you got to do is lambast, insult, and insult black folk and run them down the road. And that's how he made his money. He didn't have any talent. All he did was talk bad about people. Or he had some good things to say. But most of the time, all he did was criticize people. We don't need any more people like that out here, especially black, because white folks do enough of that in everything they broadcast or everything they write. But, you know, I feel sorry for the brother's mother. But as far as I'm concerned, you know what? Hey, God has a way of correcting things.
He went out early. In my opinion, we was like 53. He was in his 50s.
And
it looked like
he
was in good
took,
health, but, you know.
And said a woman took him out, saying he was having sex when he
I'm waiting for that autopsy report to come out, because, you know, you got so many. You done heard that theory. Somebody say he was drinking too much Red Bull. So I'm waiting for the autopsy. Well, Beasley, you got the last word for this week. We'll see you guys next week. All right, everybody have a good weekend.